today is an awesome day. Because God is awesome. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to get after it. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to get into your word, Lord God. Lord God, I ask that you just use me today to bring forth the word that you've placed on my heart, that it is effective, Lord God, that it changes hearts and souls and minds, Lord God, and that it goes forth and does your will. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. This kind of be our whole text for the... I have a couple other scriptures, but this is the text I went off of. And we're going to come down to verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Simple as that. Okay, we're good. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Could you put that up in the TPT, please? The TPT is fast becoming one of my favorite translations. I understand that it's kind of almost a paraphrase more than anything. It's only available in a couple of the books and all of the New Testament. But that right there, verse 16, what's that say? Let joy be your continual feast. This week, right? Go ahead and we'll do 17 also really quick. Make your life a prayer. Continue. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. This week is Thanksgiving week, right? On Thursday, we're all going to sit down for some kind of, maybe, well, we have a casino kind of area where people have weird holidays. I remember we did like Thanksgiving like on a Tuesday or something. I think it was never on Thanksgiving. But it was like the week before. Some people understand that. But at whatever day it is, at one point this week, you're going to sit down and you're going to celebrate one of the... most gluttonous holidays that we have. Let's be honest, because nobody is finished with one plate. You've got to go back for more, right? And then after you've stuffed yourself thoroughly and had your nap, you wake up and you look for, me personally, I look for a roll and a little bit of mashed potatoes and some turkey. And I put it all on one roll, and I eat that as a sandwich. But it's not a full sandwich, so I don't feel any guilt in doing so. And when Heather looks at me and goes, are you eating again? Babe, it was just a roll. It was filled to the brim with everything that Thanksgiving had to offer. But it was just a roll. And I'm not supposed to eat rolls either, so there's just no getting around it. Oh, well, just a roll. Just roll with it. Oh, cheesy. That's Pastor Cheesy right there. But for real, can we go back up to that 16? Let joy be your continual feast. There's something about continuously feasting on the joy that God will give you. There's something about when you get past all the craziness and the stupidness of this world, that if you'll continually feast on joy, you can kind of just make it through anything. There's a reason to be happy in every situation. Maybe things aren't going your way, but guess what? God is greater. There is a reason to be continuously feeding and feasting on joy. Feasting, that's not just having a bite. Thanksgiving is a feast, and there are no single bites had except for maybe in the kitchen, sneaking a little bit, you know. But you got a taste test. And you taste test from whatever you start cooking to sometime at like 8:30 at night when you're just in like a comatose state. You can't button your pants anymore. You went and put on the comfy sweats, whatever it is. That's how we need to be with joy. Our life needs to be so filled with joy. We need to be, if everything is going wrong, find something. Find something to be happy about. I messed up some of the words on the songs. I was back there. But cornucopia came up. Cornucopia. Everybody know what a cornucopia is? That's that weird thing. It's the horn with all the stuff pouring out of it. Everybody know what a cornucopia is now? Man, I wish I had one, because this is awesome. Cornucopia, a symbol of plenty consisting of a goat's horn overflowing with flowers, fruit, and corn. An abundant supply of good things. Amen. Cornucopia. We should have a cornucopia of joy. When we're looking at our table spiritually, we should see this cornucopia filled with stuff that brings joy. Sometimes people put too much emphasis on stuff, car stuff, money stuff, house. I don't care. Name it. Oh, by the way, I got a fish tank started again. Yes. I have a cornucopia of trouble. No, I'm just joking. So I'm not supposed to have that. I put this down in my notes. Back off of the cornucopia. Let God be your nutritionist. Amen. Your spiritual nutritionist. Amen. If we're supposed to be feasting, we should be feasting on some good things. Some God things. Cornucopia of joy. Man. Cornucopia of joy. That just makes me happy. Do you like the word cornucopia? I'm stuck on it. Of joy. What would be in your cornucopia? I have my kids. I have my wife. You know, I have cars and houses and stuff. But my family causes me tons of joy. I've got great pastors. I've had great pastors. I've got you guys. A wonderful church family that are supportive, that are loving, that are helpful. These are all things that bring me great joy. Those are the things we need to focus on. I woke up this morning, brings me great joy. The wind was blowing, cold wind was blowing. Did y'all know that? Now, I'm not excited about the wind. But I was bummed. I just come off vacation. And usually during my vacation in November, the Festival of Life, I put up my Christmas decorations, or at least begin. But it was too warm. There was no cold air. And I don't think it's putting up Christmas decorations correctly unless I have to have a sweater on. And I would sweat in a sweater this whole weekend. I was like, you know what, never mind. This morning I felt the cold wind when I opened the door. I was like, I can get the decorations out now. It's too late, but I'll get them up, and not just one light strand, you know. I go crazy. Yes, I do. Woohoo! I was bummed out. We went to Target, and Target didn't have lights out yet. I was like, so wanted to buy more lights, and if y'all knew how many lights I had, you would think I had a problem, worse than my fish tank issue. I have fish issues. So we're going to turn over to Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. And I believe I did this one also in the TPT. We've got a menu. How do we focus on those things? How do we stay in the continual feast on joy? Keep your thoughts continuously fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. God's glorious work. every creation of God. I don't care if you are having the worst day. There is something about a flower. That sounds a little feminine from Big Dude, right? But there's something about a flower. There's something about other people's kids. Like, I love my kids, but I'm not having any more babies. There are no more babies coming to my house. Not that are mine. Grandkids later, got it? But something about a smiley, happy baby, that can bring joy. Barking dogs, not really my favorite, but some dogs are adorable. And they are the workmanship of God. Some of them we think are demon spawn, but it's okay. At one point they were a puppy and they were adorable. And then you got stuck with it. Our current dog, I could not stand as a puppy. He was a terrible, terrible dog. But I have learned to love him. He is better now than he was as a puppy. Don't tell him I love him. It'll mess his brain up. I put down some things to fasten your thoughts on. Family, friends, home, church, pastors, food this week. The river. If anywhere you're at, go up on a hill, look at the river. That's God. The mountains, breath, you woke up. Not bad breath, but breath, you know, the breath in your lungs. I've never been thankful for somebody with halitosis sitting at my desk. And I wouldn't expect that they were if I had the same issue. Go back up. Let's go to verse 6, same chapter. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and keep your mind through Christ Jesus. Saying don't be anxious. In the King James, don't be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So we shouldn't be anxious. When we pray, are we not praying in faith? That's where we need to be, to a point where once we pray, it's settled, and we can just thank God from then on. A lot of the Psalms, David is, he asks for things. But in a lot of them, he's just thanking God. If we could catch on to that kind of faith as a whole, as a church body, if we could catch on to the kind of faith where we don't have to physically hold something to know it's already on its way, that that the manifestation has already come. That God has already sent it on its way. One time with the kids in back, I handed one child my keys, and I said, in a minute, I'm going to ask for them. And I just want you to start making it down the line. And then, anytime I ask again, and I gave this instruction to everybody, I need you to send it backwards. Now, the purpose behind this was we have angels that are assigned to us that go out and when we ask for something, they bring it. But now, if I ask for something and God says, hey, take this to Clinton, and the angel goes out and he's bringing it to me, and I say, can I have this? And hey, Joe, that's my angel, I guess. Joe, come here. Clinton needs something else. It's prolonging the time it takes for it to get there. Because I'm really not standing and asking in faith. I'm just asking and asking and asking and asking. But I've never received it spiritually, so it will take longer to receive it physically. We need to be thanking God. Once you ask for it, if you believe you've received, then you just thank him for it, right? Should have got a better amen. When you believe you receive, then you should just be thanking them for God for it, from then on. So what's that look like? It looks just like when your parents give you something and you thank them. Or your kids or whoever it was. If Isaac asked for $100 and I gave him $100 and he didn't say thank you, he just asked for another $100, I might have to lay hands on him. Right? That's a little maybe overly simplified, but do you get what I'm saying? Let's thank God for the things that He's given us. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where life begins, if you would. Where the faith walk is, it's remembering to thank God for those things. It says, make your life a prayer in the midst of everything. Be always giving thanks. And I believe that that's back up to Thessalonians. Make your life a prayer in the midst of everything. Be always giving thanks. Pastor Barb once said that we should live fasted lives. What I took from that is always be in an attitude of praise and willing and ready to thank God. I am in a sales position in my 9-to-5. Without God, I could do nothing. Because in all reality, the easiest way to live a fasted life and always be in an attitude of worship, always be in an attitude of praise, and always willing to give God thanks is simply by realizing that without Him, you are nothing, you have nothing, and you can do nothing. That independent of God, if you're on your own, you're nothing. It sounds a little rough, it sounds a little rude, but it's the truth. God blesses me. When I make a sale, it is a blessing from God. Because in all reality, I am smart, but I'm not all that smart. I can articulate things, but I'm not all that articulate. Oddly enough, outside of where my comfort zone, I am shy. Outside of my comfort zone, I am shy and soft-spoken. Outside of my comfort zone. My comfort zone is ever-expanding, thank God. But some of you might be like taken back by the fact that there are times where I am so like reserved and just unwilling to speak that I just come across very quiet. What? Clinton? You sure? Outside of my comfort zone. I'm going to tell a story on you. Just because. You're here and you're smiling. This young lady came to my house to sell me a product. And I gave her the hardest time ever. I picked on her the entire time. But that was in my comfort zone. Right? She was gracious. Thank you. It was fun. She was wonderful. But my goodness, that's my comfort zone. But there's times where I'm like in a grocery store or something, like, hey, by chance, do you have this in a 10? Like, and all, like, weird. It's weird for me even though that's how I am, right? So I said all that to say, make sure you realize that outside of God, you're nothing. I can stand up here and speak because of God. Not because of me, because if it was just me, it would seriously be quiet, reserved Clinton, not who I am now. When we were in the escape room, I was reluctant to ask for help, and even when I did, I was kind of standoffish about it. And we were stuck in an escape room. Heather and I made it out together, and we made it out still married. We didn't lose our cool at all, but we did get stuck in that room. There were five of them, and we didn't make it. We lost. In all things, be praying, believing, thanking. God is so good. I just can't get over how good God has been to me. I want, if you would, close your eyes really quick. We're going to do it, and please don't fall asleep. We're going to do an exercise. This is something I do with the kids quite frequently. Imagine the table with the cornucopia on it. Now, I want you to start filling that cornucopia with the things that God has done for you. You can do that from the time you can remember, or just in this last week. It matters not. But start filling that cornucopia with the things that God has done for you. And when you start seeing it, I want you to stand up. When you start seeing the things that God has done, I want you to stand up. And I just want you to start thanking God. Thank you, God, for all that you have done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that I have abundance in every area and aspect of my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We give thanks to you, Father. Outside of you, nothing can happen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. There is not a seat with a rear end still in it. That means we all have something to thank God for. That should get glory to God. God is so good. Thank you, God. The fact that you stood is a testament itself. Amen. To the greatness of God. Amen. To how much He has done for you. Yes. Thank you, God. Glory, you can be seated. Father, thank you so much. He is so good. In all that, I'm going to give you one more reason to thank God here in about 2 minutes. On Thursday, we're going to sit at a table with friends and family and focus on what we are thankful for. I challenge you, as the year draws to a close, to live every single day like it was Thanksgiving. Don't have a Thanksgiving feast once a year. I think we've become accustomed to that. We bottle it all up, but how many people do the, if show of hands, how many people when you sit down with your family will do the circle around and say one thing that you're thankful for? You guys are cheesy. Come on. Why do we just do it on Thanksgiving? Why do we keep it to one? You give somebody the mic, you know, you might not get it back. So one is cool, I get, for because everybody's hungry. We want to get after it. But can I challenge you to every day thank God for something? Don't forget it. Tell somebody about what God did for you. Would you believe that's your testimony in some cases? Well, God got me through this. Well, God brought me this. God helped me here. I could sit up here and tell you guys for days the things that God has done for me. And never, I don't think, run out of things to say. Because He's good. And I have so much to be thankful for. But we all need to get to that point where everything, it doesn't matter, everything, every step we take, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for repairing my marriage. Thank you, God, for my son. You know, Gabe was born a itsy bitsy teensy little guy, 3 pounds, 1 ounce. This is before I caught on to faith or that I knew that words moved mountains. But he was 3 pounds, 1 ounce. It was going to take him some time, and he was not going to be home for Christmas, right? Festival of Life, the vacation that I was just on, is the birthday week of my kids. It's the 11th, 13th, and 16th of November are their birthdays. Gabe's is the 16th, right? He's the last one. And the first one. It always ends where it started. That's always my Facebook post. So, but he was born on November 16th. And he was born 3 pounds, 1 ounce. And he wasn't going to be home for Christmas. That's over a month, right? And I was like, you know what? He will be home for Christmas. And before I knew the faith thing, I did know Jesus, but I wasn't walking with him. Before I really understood that words move mountains and create realities, I spoke that into his life. And he was home before Christmas. I think he came home on the 20th. On the 16th of... So he came home... How? You weren't even there. Your mom knows. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He was there, but he don't remember. This guy... He was right. It was the 15th. He was there, apparently. And he does remember. So he came home on the 15th of December. He came home still lighter than a healthy baby should go home. They still let him go home because he could hold his temperature and he can eat at the same time. So that's huge. And it's because faith, right? I thank God for that kid. And he's a tough guy, right? He's surpassed all kinds of expectations. I thank God for him every day. Still to this day, even though he's a little bit of a thorn in the side. But we love him. Thank God for the things that he does for you. You might think they're insignificant. They're not. God moved the world to do it for you. Moved mountains for you. Thank God. And here is that other thing. I'm just going to call it there. God wants you to just be thankful. Love him. And enjoy this next week with your family and your friends. Did you have anything, Mel? Want to pray? Thank you, God. Father God, I thank you so much for the things that you've done in my life. Is it too much to say that I just adore you? You are wonderful, God. I thank you for your word, Lord. Shut me back. You know what? Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never experienced what it is that I'm talking about. This love of God that he has for you. The abundance of love that he has for you. If that's you and you would really like to know Jesus, could you do me a favor with every eye closed, every head bowed? Go ahead and pop your hand up if you've never met Jesus. I'd like to introduce the two of you. Looking around. Everybody knows Jesus. That's amazing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. You are wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, God. An abundance of joy. Cornucopia. A joy feast. Feast on those things that are good. That God has done for you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I don't know if we're quite done yet. I really feel like the presence of the Lord is here, and I feel like you're sensing that also. And so let's just... Let's just worship him for a second. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, that we will have a thankful heart. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand to our feet. Hallelujah. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to stand to our feet. We're going to lift our voices and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you,